Your pew Bible to John chapter 20 verses 1 through 18 this morning. John chapter 20. You know, Barb and Elle, they take care of communion too, and I was praying that Elle would have enough Starbursts this morning. That would have been a bad deal. Well, let's turn to the scriptures this morning. The sermon title is We Serve a Risen Savior, and I put out an email this past week. I was looking for a buck saw or a whip saw, and I have a lot of you intrigued of what I'm doing with that. I'm not cutting anyone today. So you can rest assured. I know it piqued your interest, and we'll get into that in the message this morning and where I'm going to use that for a sermon prop this morning. But let's read the word of the Lord. John 20, entitled The Empty Tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one on the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have read your scripture this morning, it's the greatest news we've ever heard. We thank you for these words that the Apostle John wrote to us, and Lord, we take them to heart, and so Lord, may we learn from these words today. Lord, I pray that you fill me with your Spirit as I deliver this message today. And for those that have gathered here, Lord, may that same Spirit teach them. May you open their minds and their souls and their hearts to absorb your word, and may they learn and grow in the faith. In Jesus I pray, amen. Janice, could you turn up the volume a little bit, please?
We are all on a journey, every one of us. And the journeys we travel are unique to each person. Some of us run in sprints, while others walk more predictably and consistently over time. And even when we limp or feel stuck, that's still part of our journey. Your journey might take you through the loss of a loved one or the loss of your health. It might include the chronic strain of an important relationship. And most of our journeys include some part of our past that we'd rather forget. Whatever the case, the reality is simple. We're all on a journey. And what if all of our unique journeys are all leading us to one location? At the break of sunrise on a Sunday morning in Jerusalem, both the followers of Jesus as well as the executioners of Jesus were left speechless and staring as they stood before a tomb that had once held him. But Jesus was no longer in it. And what if that's the exact place God takes each of us into? He takes us to an empty tomb to see it, yes, but ultimately to believe or not to believe. This is the Easter event, and this is where your unique journey has led you. Maybe it's your first view ever, and maybe it's your 100th. Whatever the case, the fact that you're here today is no accident at all. This is rebirth. This is life. This is Easter.
Mary Magdalene, along with a few other ladies, were there the first to reach the tomb that morning. The tomb of Jesus. That very first Easter morning ever, some 2,000 years ago, there was no thought of the resurrection on Mary's mind. That was far from it. She'd been quite close to the cross. She had seen the devastating blows and the punishment that Jesus had taken on that Friday morning. She'd witnessed firsthand how his life had slowly drained away from him. And she just had one more desire to give him a proper burial and to wrap and care for his body that was so hastily done by Nicodemus and Joseph the night before. She thought she was coming to the tomb for one last expression of love for Jesus, whom she owed everything. Mary Magdalene had been on quite a journey with Jesus. We learned about that just a week ago. She had witnessed his miracles firsthand. She understood that he was the Christ. And upon coming to that tomb that first Easter morning, she noticed that the stone had been rolled away. She must have thought, something isn't right. And as she came near the tomb where Jesus' body was laid, it was gone. It was empty, filled with fear, as she summoned the other disciples. She patiently waited outside as the others tried to figure out what had happened. And then we see the story of these angels appearing to her and telling her that Jesus is not here, but he's risen from the dead, just like he said he would. And at this point, Mary's by the tomb all by herself. The others have gone on their way. Some have believed, the Bible says. Some are in bewilderment. Some don't understand. Some don't get it. And an angel appeared to her and said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And you can just about imagine her sitting on the rock outside of that tomb, just sobbing and weeping and just in disbelief of what's going on. And she mumbled the words, "They've taken my Lord away. And I don't know where he's at." You know, at this point, Mary still believes that Jesus is dead. They moved his body somewhere else. And then she turned and saw Jesus. But through her tear-filled eyes, she couldn't make out who it was. And then Jesus spoke her name, Mary. And she instantly recognized him. So here's a question for you this morning. Notice what John 10, 3, verse 4 says on the screen this morning. It says this: He calls his own sheep by name, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And so I'm wondering this morning, how many of you know his voice when he calls your name? How many of you know his voice? How many of you are on a journey with Jesus like Mary Magdalene was in her life? How many of you know his name and truly understand what the journey involves when we follow Christ? And the journey reminds me of a whipsaw. I heard this the other night at our class this meeting. This is not my own idea of this whipsaw, but it was so relevant and it spoke to me in such a deep level that I wanted you to hear it this morning of what life can be like. Now, some people might call this a bucksaw, but for today's purposes, we're going to call it a whipsaw. It's long, it's broad, it takes a huge stroke. When we journey with Jesus, it's like we are living life in a whipsaw. And let me explain that to you just a little bit this morning. Life in this whipsaw looks like this. And I brought along a couple posters for you this morning. On one side of the whipsaw are blessings and hope that we receive from Christ our Lord. And you can about imagine on the other side of the whipsaw is the messiness of life. Mary lived in that tension constantly. She sat outside the tomb that first Easter morning, sobbing her eyes out. She was living in the messiness of life, not understanding what's going on. What happened to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? I don't get it. And then Jesus says to her, Mary. And she is swung over to this side where it's filled with blessings and hope. And she realized that her Christ was risen from the dead. So let me ask you this morning. This is what life looks like. The whipsaw goes back and forth. You need to realize, people, that you will always live in the blessings of life and hope as a follower of Jesus Christ. But you will always be living in the messiness of life right with it. It will always be there. I know you understand this morning because that's the way life is. One minute things are going great, you're feeling good, you're blessed, and the next minute you've just received the most terrible news you could ever receive in the world. And the saw swings the other way. We live in the whipsaw of life. How many of you are kind of feeling that way today? How many of you go through that throughout your week? Or maybe this last week, you felt like maybe you were the whipsaw and you swing back and forth. You need to know that that's normal for Christians to be that way. And here's the point I want to make to you this morning, is that when you live in the whipsaw of life, there are a lot of people that live on the messiness in their life. They don't know who Jesus is. Some people choose to live in the messiness of life. That's not what God intended. That's why he sent Jesus to the tomb to die for your sins, so that you could live with blessings and hope in your life. Now, you don't realize the fullness of it yet. That's still to come when he calls you home or if Christ returns. But you get to experience some of that today. There are a whole lot of people in this world that don't know who Jesus is. They have no hope for their lives. And they live in the messiness. That would not be a very good place to live. Their Monday mornings just have to suck. Right? No hope. No blessings. But see, you're different. You know a risen Savior. You have hope. You are showered with blessings that you realize come from God, our Creator and Maker, in heaven. May you understand the whipsaw of life this morning. It is of utmost importance that we draw close to Jesus as we journey through this world. This the video that I played to you this morning. We're all on a journey. Every one of our journeys are different. This is how you're going to survive the journey. Holding on to Jesus. Drawing close to Him like Mary did in her life. She recognized that this was Jesus and she clung to Him. But then notice what Jesus does. He says to her, "Don't hold on to me." You might be thinking this morning, why would Jesus say that? And there's a different couple of theology or theological reasons I can give you this morning. No matter how tight you hold on to Jesus, there will be times and you might feel that you've let go of Him as you go through life. But let me remind you of one thing that Jesus says and He promises to you in Scripture, I will never, ever let you go. Because He's clung on to you in your life, no matter where that journey takes you. Jesus has a hold of us. There are people in the world today that are tired. The world has run them over. There's brokenness everywhere. People are hurting. People are wandering around aimlessly trying to figure this life out. Sin consumes us, consumes them. And there's only one remedy, and that remedy is Jesus Christ. Know that this morning. The whipsaw of life is still running every day. People need revival. People need rest. People need comfort that can only come from Jesus Christ and that empty tomb. Let me share another story with you about hope this morning. Maybe you're here today and your faith has been a little weak, or maybe it's waning, or maybe it's stronger than ever. And praise God for that. Maybe you're doubting if this Jesus is real. Maybe you're doubting, did He really rise from the dead? Is there such a thing as a resurrection? Maybe you're thinking about that this morning. Well, let me tell you a little story that occurred in this church 9 years ago, roughly, almost to the exact month of March. March of 2009. I stood here and shared these same verses with a congregation that was broken because you lost your pastor to a massive and sudden death that was so unexpected. Pastor Bill Donkersloot. It's the first time I've ever preached to this church was the morning after he had passed away. I remember one of the elders called me and said, "Rob, you know the situation we're in." And they asked, "You sure you want to go through with it? Because we'll let you go and we'll bring somebody in that can handle this and that can lead us through this heartful, sorrowful time in our lives." And I said, "Let me pray about it." And I just felt God saying, "You need to go preach, Rob." By the way, this is the second time I've ever been on the pulpit in my life. It was scary. March 2009. And here's the words that I shared with that congregation with them that morning. And I have them up here on the screen this morning. John 20, verse 6 and 7. Most of us will glance over this in Scripture, and it's so powerful. "Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head." That's so significant. And it says this, "The cloth was neatly folded up by itself, separate from the linen in the tomb." Now you might think, well, what's such a big deal about that? I don't get that. Why would that folded cloth be so important? And here's why. In order for you to understand the significance of why the head cloth is folded and placed to the side, is that you need to understand something about Hebrew tradition in the time that Jesus would have been alive. And here's what would happen. You'd have a master and a servant that would live in the living quarters somewhere. And that young Hebrew boy was in training of how to take care of his master. And so that young Hebrew servant, he would set the table with everything that was needed for the meal. And then he'd stand off to the side, out of sight, so nobody could see him. And the master would come in, and he'd sit at the table, and he would enjoy his meal. And the servant waited. And this is how the servant knew that when the master was done eating, he'd get up from the table and he'd take his napkin and he'd wipe off his fingers and his mouth and he'd throw it down on the table. And the master would leave. And the servant could see that the napkin was all folded up and that the king was done. But you see, if the napkin was folded and placed by the side of the plate, it meant that he wasn't done. Do you see what the folded napkin means? In the empty tomb, it said, Jesus says to us, I'm not done. I'm not done. That's hope. And you can see how it just jerks the tears right out of me. That's the hope we have in Jesus Christ. He's coming back. It's not finished yet. The folded napkin is so powerful. Why do you think John had put that little snippet in the Bible so we would understand and know the story of what that folded napkin meant in our lives? I'm not finished yet. He's not finished with you. He's still working in your life. He's not finished with the church throughout the world. There's still good things going on. People are being saved every day. There are miracles that happen every day in this world. And he will return one day for his people. I hope that gives you great hope today. That is the hope that we need to get through the whipsaw of life. We need Jesus, all of us. Do you know him? Do you trust him? Do you believe that he died and is risen and seated by God the Father in heaven? Have you given your life to him? And if you know him and you've done that, continue on your journey to the empty tomb. And maybe you don't know him yet. And maybe you've never given your life to him. I pray that you'll do that today and that you begin your journey towards that empty tomb. Because in that empty tomb, there is power beyond belief through a risen Savior called Jesus Christ. You need to celebrate today with great joy, knowing that your Savior's alive and he's coming back for you one day. And all of God's people said,